All right, joining us now, it's Melissa Lockhart. And fans, of course, we had Melissa on last weekend talking about the draft that is coming up and did happen on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Melissa is the expert, and we love reading everything she does in The Athletic. Melissa, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, we love having you on, and you called it accurately just about for all the picks that were in the first round ahead of Hunter Bishop. And I'd love to start with Hunter Bishop and see what your thoughts are of the Giants getting that pick from Sarah High School and ASU.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for them to mold a potential kind of five-tool prospect, a guy who can be a real difference maker in the middle of the lineup and a potential defensive asset in the outfield as well. You know, I thought there was a chance he might go 7 or 8, so I think they got nice value there where they got him. And he's really kind of come into his own in the last, I don't know, year or so in terms of his talent. He always was very, very talented, but it really came together for him, and he's been able to get into his power more. He's making more consistent contact. He's laying off pitches that he shouldn't be swinging at, and I think they have a chance to really have a dynamic talent up the middle, maybe a potential center fielder, and even if he has to move to right field, he's got the offense that can make that work.
Well, he's from Sarah High School, as I said, and ASU, so that's a big plus, too, and I know he's very excited to be part of what is going to happen in his career with the Giants. I was thinking about this today. Of course, we have Farhan. We have Mike Holmes here. We have Zach Manassian here. We have Bridges here, who came over from Atlanta, the cross-checker. These guys know what they're doing. And for the number 10 pick in the country, for a power hitter, for someone like that, I would imagine the analytics just jump off the page. In other words, the exit velocity, the launch angle, the spin rate of the ball that he hits, for whatever they look at, chase rate, everything's got to be in place for them. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but I do think at this level, too, a lot of it still is about projection in terms of looking at someone with your own eyes and getting an eyeball talent, you know, too, in that respect. I mean, I think when you look at Hunter Bishop play, you don't even need the analytics to see that he can hit the ball really, really hard. He uses the whole field well. You know, he's got the speed to be able to make a difference. He goes first to third very well. And, you know, analytics certainly plays a part in it, but I think analytics actually tend to play a bigger part when you get a little bit further down in the draft, because you're looking more for guys that maybe the numbers didn't necessarily show from a statistical perspective, you know, what you were looking for in a top 1 or 2 round pick, but there's something in there that you think you could develop based on a spin rate, you know, their ability to go the other way or whatever it is based on, you know, TrackMan data and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, I think with Hunter Bishop, though, the talent has always sort of jumped off the page, and the fact that he could also put production with that talent this year with at ASU really made him a solid selection at that point.
All right, well said. I think you're right. I think maybe it would apply as we go further down into the draft. The number 2 pick, I saw him play on Friday against East Carolina, Logan Wyatt. And first at bat, took three balls, no strikes, and eventually got the count he wanted and just ripped the ball for a double. And they say maybe a Brandon Belt clone, but he looks like a kid who can walk and not strike out and maybe sort of like an A's kind of player, because these guys do have an A's background in scouting.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually asked Michael right after the draft if he sort of saw a little Max Muncy in Logan's profile, just given where Max was when he was coming out of Baylor. And Max wasn't as physically gifted, I think, as Logan in terms of his size and his kind of pure athleticism. But there is a lot of that really mature approach, ability to recognize pitches very early. He controls the count well. Someone who may come into his power a little bit later, but already has all the, you know, setup and pitch recognition that you know will eventually get to that point as a hitter. And then, you know, defensively at first base, he has a chance to be an above average defensive first baseman and maybe has the athleticism that he can move off into a left field as well. So he's certainly a very intriguing prospect. And, you know, I don't know if Brandon Belt clone is necessarily what the connotation of that would derive if someone's kind of thinking of those words. But certainly, you know, that very power, patience, middle of the order bat that you would expect for a first baseman is sort of what he projects to be.
All right. Very good. Well, I know he led his team in walks, I think, in the country. He had more walks than strikeouts. So that's why I started thinking about Brandon Belt for the big first baseman, also a left-handed hitter. Melissa Lockhart with us from The Athletic. Melissa, let's look at some of the surprises. And I know the Giants, hitters. There was a pitcher thrown in there eventually. But what did you see later on, maybe a couple of the draft picks who you say, wow, maybe something could come of them?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at themes, I think, you know, hitting is the thing that jumps out at you. They were very, very heavy on position players. You know, they only picked one pitcher in the top 10 rounds, which is really, I mean, very unusual for any team. You know, you tend to see maybe if you go position players for the first few picks, you're still going to end up with grabbing a couple of pitchers towards those back end of the top 10 rounds to, you know, maybe a college senior here or there, somebody who's going to fill out your rotation. So, you know, they were obviously very keyed in on sort of filling up their position players, filling up their up-the-middle talent. I think they felt that was really lacking in the system. Shortstops, second basemen, center fielders, dynamic athletes. So they got a lot of those. They went with a lot of high school picks and junior college picks in the later portions of the draft, especially in that day three area, and a lot of guys that I think that they're going to have a lot of ability to mold as they you know, kind of develop as professional players. So, but it was definitely an extremely hitter heavy draft class, and I guess that sort of balances out last year's draft. They went pitcher front heavy after the first pick. They went with a catcher, but then they went pitcher heavy for the next three or four rounds. So they might have felt like they didn't really need to add a lot of lower level pitching at that point. But you know, they got Grant McCray, yeah, with the third round there, and that sort of, I think, a good representative of what day two was all about for the Giants. A lot of athleticism, projection, not necessarily looking at somebody that you can look at the back of the baseball card and be like, ah, that's obvious why they took him. And I think it's going to be fun, you know, for the Giants to have that kind of talent that they can bring up, because they've really sort of been missing that dynamic athleticism in their lower levels, especially the last few years.
They did it. They loaded up. I guess the name I like is Armani Smith. How bad can you be if your first name is Armani?
Right. Yeah. You know, and he's a Bay Area native too. So he's going to be very excited to be up here. And yeah, you know, he's a guy who, sort of like Hunter Bishop, where I think there was, you know, power that had sort of been in there and hadn't really gotten into it until this season at UC Santa Barbara. And he is a guy that went to De La Salle, you know, somebody that they probably had a pretty big connection with even back in the high school days. You know, a lot of the guys that scout in this local area, when you have a relationship with somebody back even dating in high school, you can see where their progression goes over their 3 years of college, and you can kind of get a sense of, you know, where they're making improvements and how sustainable that's going to be as a pro. And I know they were very excited to get him where they got him. You know, even though he was a college player, he's almost a little bit like a projection pick at that point as well.
Well, the second day, they loaded up on shortstops. Of the three or four that they got, would you like to comment on one of them?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's sort of interesting that they got Tyler Fitzgerald in the fourth round, and in the same draft that they got Logan Wyatt. And there's, you know, both of those guys are in the same infield at Louisville. And I think that isn't unusual to happen. You know, when you send a scout out there to look at someone specifically, like they were probably looking at Logan, then somebody else is going to jump out at you when you're out there. And I think Tyler was that guy. You know, they wouldn't have necessarily gone out there to look specifically for him, but he obviously made a very strong impression. You know, and he's a guy, I think, they're going to be able to move him around the field a lot, and, you know, talk a lot about versatility since Farhan took over the front office. And, you know, he's a guy that I think will be able to play a bunch of different positions, you know, really takes a lot of walks, has a lot of ability to go the other way. And it just sort of one of those players that a roster sort of hinges on, if you can have, you know, a player that can fill so many different roles. And, you know, it also kind of creates a nice scenario where you've got two picks that obviously know each other so well and can come up in the system together. You don't draft for that reason, but it does make it a lot more comfortable for those guys as they're coming into it, and it can sometimes help their development in the early part of their careers.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You know, they needed shortstops. They got a bunch of them. Needed a power-hitting outfielder. Got a couple of those guys. So we'll see what happens. But I think all in all, if I'm part of the Giants front office looking at this, I think they probably filled what they wanted to fill. So I say it looks pretty good to me, and I think you confirmed that a little bit with us. Melissa Lockhart of The Athletic. Let's talk A's just a little bit. Their top pick, of course, last year was Kyler Murray. They didn't sign him. They signed him, but then they didn't realize he was that good a football player.
Sure.
Of course, we know what happened with him. But who did they take in their first pick?
Yeah, you know, they went with Logan Davidson, who's a shortstop at Clemson. And, you know, again, I think when you talk about typical A's picks, this has become more of a typical kind of pick for them over the last few years. Very different from what you would have thought of as a typical A's pick, say back in 2002, 2003 in the Moneyball era. But, you know, they love up the middle talents. I mean, that's what Kyler Murray was. That's what Austin Beck was the year before. They look for guys that start off as shortstops, and because of shortstop, if you can play shortstop, you can almost play anywhere, you know, except maybe catcher, and it creates that versatility. He's a guy that has power from both sides of the plate, good body. He's going to build more strength as he gets older. His bloodlines are good. He's got professional baseball in his family. And he's somebody that, you know, I know they had been tracking even dating back into high school. So, you know, he's definitely one of those guys that when you saw him come off the board where he did, and he was a guy that was projected probably in that 20 to 25 range. So the fact that they got him at 29, I think, was a fairly good value. So I know they were very pleased with him and pleased to be able to get him at the spot they got him. So he'll add a lot to their system.
Oh, very good. I love talking ball with you, Melissa Lockhart of The Athletic. One last thing. A name in the news, Connor Menez, name in the news. Every time you turn around, good things are happening for him. You want to comment on him?
Yeah, you know, he's just one of those guys that you don't see a lot of national press from, you know, guys like Connor, but they're just the kind of guy that comes up and ends up being that solid, you know, fourth or third starter in your rotation that you really good teams need. And they're not the hype prospects, but they're just the really solid guys. He knows how to pitch. He locates well. He's got a couple of swing and miss secondary offerings. That his strikeout totals have been tremendous throughout his entire minor league career. Flies a little bit under the radar because his velocity isn't huge, and he didn't go to a college that has a big time program that he'd get a lot of publicity from. But he's just had success at every level that he's been at. He's gotten better at every level that he's been at, and his ability to miss bats, you know, really is something that I think, you know, will bode well for him in the upper levels. And so, you know, Sean Anderson was a guy that I think flew under the radar for pretty much anyone except that, you know, wasn't really following the Giants that closely. And I think Connor's another guy that's like that. He's not going to necessarily be your Madison Bumgarner kind of guy, but he's going to be a solid rotation guy. And I think he's somebody that, assuming he can kind of jump into this AAA Sacramento promotion and do well early on, that the Giants will look to maybe in the second half if they make some trades to see what they've gotten going into next season.
Boy, interesting. Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll catch up with you again. But great report. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Melissa Lockhart of The Athletic. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.